Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to check into the world of Murphy as we welcome back Mark J. Murphy. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we wanted to check in with the Murph, the world of Mark J. Murphy. Why not? Because apparently, I've known this guy for like 15 years. I had no idea, but I know that Golf Channel did a revisit about the Big Break Ireland. And anyway, they said it was 15 years ago. I'm like, 15 years ago? How did I know this guy? How have I known this guy for almost 15 years. I don't know, but he's a good guy. It is not St. Patrick's Day, so in case you're checking your calendars, because, you know, usually we have Murph on around that time because he's a good Irishman, but he is joining us on the show. Murph, I just want to catch up with you, man, see how you're doing. What's going on in the world of Murph?
What's up, Jonesy? All the same stuff, dude. Everything is the same. Not a whole lot. I got another win, all right, under my belt, but that's about it.
got the W.
Yeah, I made hard work of it, but it's done and dusted. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. It was cool to kind of revisit 15 years later on how nervous you are when you know, people don't realize when they're watching it on TV that, you know, there's a break in between every shot you hit, you know?
Right.
It's like, hit your shot, now wait 15 minutes for all the cameras to go ahead, and then hit it again. So when your mind isn't that, when you're not that mentally strong in the brain, it gets very difficult.
Yeah, that there's no consistency, there's no continuity. Obviously, when you have to do, you have to reset every time.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you hit shots and you wait around, and then the nine holes that we played had water everywhere. Like, it was just water all over the place, and it was. That water, every time I stood over the ball, was kind of calling my name, you know?
Yeah, I've been there. I've heard my name mentioned a few times by some still ponds, and for whatever reason that is. You know, it's interesting you talk about having to wait so long, because there's still a lot of slow play going on at the professional level, especially on the PGA Tour. So as a competitor, it's got to really be tough.
Well, it's just, well, for in that situation, again, it's just like, you know, you know going in that that's what you're doing. It's kind of more of an exhibition rather than anything else, you know.
Right, right.
Like if you're on the PGA Tour, I feel like when I played, which was never at a huge high level, I played in maybe 5-6 Irish Opens and maybe a couple of more European Tour events. I feel like when you're in that, it's a different situation, because you're waiting, but you're still moving on bit by bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, here, it's like, hit your shot, wait in the cart. Okay, now you can drive up. At least when you're playing full-time golf in the PGA Tour, you can actually walk and keep yourself going. And look, they're never going to, as far as I'm concerned, they're never going to be able to achieve anything different with the pace of play.
Okay, that's probably pretty accurate there. That's part of we're having Murph on the show. But you do this exhibition. They could have made you walk to the shot. Of course, that would have taken longer. So,
yeah, you know, unfortunately, when you do these things, you also don't have the luxury of having the course closed for the day. You know, back when we did full-time everyday filming, it was like, I can't even remember now. It's been 15 years ago. It was like, I think it was 2 weeks, you know.
Yeah.
And was it 2 weeks?
Probably.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever it was, you know, back then, you know, they were trying to get you had the whole golf course to yourself, so they could do what they wanted to do. Naturally enough, you want to get as much done. But like they couldn't close the golf course down, so they literally went out before everybody. Like, we started on the 10th hole, so, and we were no sooner finished, and a group caught us. Which was crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. I played up outside of Philadelphia at Jeffersonville Golf Club, which is a historic Donald Ross design around the PGA Championship time. And we only played, I think we started at a hole number 11. It just throws you off that way. I know you're playing the hole, but if you've never played the course before, you're just not used to starting on said hole. But it's a mindset, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it always is, right?
Right.
Everything is mindset off now, this day and age. You just look at the, you know, I go on to Rocco's show there, you know, once a week with him now, and same thing. The conversation was, you know, for me, back in the day, you had kids that would, you know, have a little nerve or be afraid. And now you've got 16-year-old guys qualifying for the U.S. Open. I mean, the level of golf is... gone through the roof, but it's also gone in a different direction for me. It's now it's just slash and how far you can slash it and then keep slashing it, you know? Right. You know, every week 2400 par winning. I mean, I don't know. Call me old fashioned, but I'd rather not see that every week. You know, and they say a lot of, you know, people like to see birdies, and I get that. I totally get that. But how about bogeys? How about people liking to see bogeys? How about you make the fairways 20 yards wide with 4 feet of rough on either side and see who wins?
Well, that
makes the golf course really long, too.
To your point, that's why the people always say, oh, the majors are the most interesting to watch. Yeah, because they make the courses difficult and it's more challenging. And
but they also haven't set up a U.S. Open. They also haven't set up a major course hard in a long time.
Well, true.
I mean, when last did it, when, you know, we were talking about that last night, was it Shinnecock?
Yeah, Shinnecock this year.
Over par. I can't remember what he said. Two over par. There was only three guys ever shot under par in the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. I think that was the conversation last night. Now, that could be 100% wrong. But when it's been on there like 5 or 6 times or something. I can't remember, and my brain is not very good. But anyway, long story short, make the golf course unbelievably hard. Have every one of them coming off the course bitching and moaning about it. You know, why not?
Right. The tour's never going to do that, but at the same token, USGA doesn't care from that standpoint. They want egg. And back when Mike Davis was the overlord of the whole organization, you know, it was definitely different. He still had been involved. He's doing his own shingle now with the golf course design, but had been... involved with the layout of the U.S. Open, it made a big difference. But that's what you have. I had the privilege to play Shinnecock back before the 2018 U.S. Open there, and it's you know, it's hilly, and you're like, I thought this was an island, and I thought this was, you know, on the east portion of Long Island, and isn't it supposed to be flatter? But you know, we had a day. Let me tell you, we had a day.
You mean, I have never been there. My friend Sean Quinlivan is actually the head pro there now. I've never been. Got up there.
Yeah, that's good. And Jim McLean's son, John, is up there as a big guy around the club as well. So it's interesting. It's far. There's one lane in and one lane out. So the gridlock and everything else that usually happens in the summertime in the Hamptons happens even more with the USA Open coming to town. So it's pretty crazy from that standpoint. But back to the majors, you know, you're talking about the toughness and such. And I mean, TPC, Sawgrass hosting the Players' Championship, you know, the PGA Tour tries to make that the, you know, the fifth major and such. But, you know, it's not as tough as the other majors, for sure. Or the four majors.
I mean, they can make these golf courses as hard or as easy as they want, man. That's the way I look at it. And you know, I'd be hitting more like they're trying to roll back the ball, which is absolutely never going to happen. I mean, there's billions of dollars already invested in new golf balls. Titleist, when I went to see, now I don't know if this is true. What am I know? I don't know if this is new 30 years later, but when I was there, I went to Acushnet, and they told me that at any given time, Titleist have 3 golf balls already made, and already on the block of, you know, as soon as, you know, one Titleist ball starts losing its momentum, then they launch another one. So yeah. there is no possible way in the in life that there's that much research, that much money gone into all of this, and they're just going to shut it down.
True. Yeah. Big players that way, like you mentioned, and yeah, that I totally believe that to be the case. Their R&D is crazy. They're always trying to develop and stuff, and that's where the Pro V1 came from. That was the prototype, and they just named it that, and it stuck. And that's why it's one of their best selling balls of all time. And you know, obviously they make newer versions and stuff as they go, tweaking it however they tweak it, you know, scientifically and all that such. But to your point, the industry has a lot of dollars invested, and to go in reverse, it's really, you can dictate and you can say, I mean, that's what we're looking at right now, is for the recreational players, it's one ball, and for the professional players and the really good amateurs, it's another ball. So, you know, it's down that rabbit hole we go.
Not a chance. No way. No way. They can be talking what they like. But, like, how about you? Like, I'm just looking here now, as I was telling you there. One over par in 2000 and, let me see, 2018, I believe it said. Hold on.
Yeah, should be.
Yeah. 2018, Brooks Koepka won it at one over par.
Yeah, last time it was there, and last time we were there.
That's the absolute beauty of that. I love that. And, you know, and I'm looking at it here again, and opening round, 5 over for Brooks Koepka, and won it.
Sure.
Opening round by Tommy Fleetwood, 5 over as well, and he was lost by a shot.
Yeah, that was.
Like, I love, like, if you look at Jonesy when you get bored tonight, look at the 2018 U.S. Open and look how sporadic the scoring is. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh yeah, no.
I mean, Tommy Fleetwood shot 5 over, 4 under, 8 over, 7 under, and lost by a shot.
Yeah, it was.
I love that. I want that kind of golf.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to experience it, and Tommy actually, you know, even though he's an Englishman, he definitely gets his fans rather quickly. He's got that Mark Murphy debonair kind of look. So you know that
he's a good egg, man. I know Tommy for a long time, and he does it right. You know, he's got it all down to a T, and it's hard not to like Tommy Fleetwood.
Exactly right. So having Brooks win that was a big deal, and obviously. Brooks is kind of in no man's land now because he's kind of trying to come back to the PGA Tour, and some guys on the LIV are trying to get back. And, you know, Brooks is down where you are in lovely Jupiter, the zip code of the haves. And it's a matter of time and such. But nobody's sure what is going on with LIV, and what we'll talk about that throughout the show with Murph, but also nobody knows really what's going on the PGA Tour, because the PGA Tour just lost $1 billion sponsor. Wells Fargo's pulled out, and prior to that, Rocket Mortgage pulled out, and there are other ones that are ending their contracts or not renewing, and it's a money problem. It's unfortunate because nobody anymore professionally plays for the love of the game. And this is to your point, or just a little bit earlier in the segment, Murph, you know, these 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds come in, they hit it so long and such, they want to turn pro. They want some of that big money that comes with winning a golf tournament or being able to compete with the big boys. That's just where they are with that.
It's the truth. And it's like, why wouldn't you want that?
Exactly.
You know, everybody's skipping college now. And it's just like, the world is changing. The world is rotating quick right now, man. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like what's in front of us. And what's in front of us is the rest of the hour with Mark J. Murphy on Teed Up with Keith Jones. Heading to this quick break. Murph's got a lot more to say, you can tell. We'll be back, and he'll be on the way.
Hi, this is Mark Sheppard, PGA professional. And right now you're listening to Teed Up with Keith Jones.
Spending the hour with a longtime friend, Mark J. Murphy, and I think 15 years was thrown out there. I have no idea where these 15 years went, Murph, but they did. And, you know, you winning the Big Break Ireland was a big deal. You and I met at the reception. They were being honored at the PGA Merchandise Show by the wonderful people of Tourism Ireland and all that stuff. How's that going? Do they still let you back into your home country?
They love when I come home.
Now, that's your mother. I know your mother loves when you come home.
They open the floodgates and in I come. No, I still go back. I still go back for 2 to 3 weeks a year. You know, I'm going back for 3 weeks. Next month, July 6th, I leave. And I don't get home till the 24th, so I'm in good shape. I like it.
So, what do you got? Obviously, there's a lot of golf involved with that kind of trip. What do you got going on?
Yeah, we go from, I take 19 members of Trump Jupiter here, and we go to Doonbeg, and we play Doonbeg the first day we get in, kind of like a practice round. And then the second day, we have a tournament called the Duel at Doonbeg. So 20 of those guys and 20 of our guys like do a Ryder Cup style tournament, and it's a blast. And then we come in and we drink plenty of frothy pints of Guinness, and we have a few songs, and we show them how the Irish like to celebrate after a good day's drinking pints.
Yeah, or maybe starting out drinking pints, then go play, and then come back with more pints. That also happens.
On the first day at Doonbeg, you have to have a shot of whiskey.
I like feckin'. I found feckin' when I was in Ireland a number of years ago. I'm not a big Jameson guy, although I've had my share over the years from people buying me shots. What is your go-to?
What did you call it?
Feckin'. F-E-C-K-I-N. Feckin'.
Never in my life heard of that.
You never heard of it? Okay, I'll later on when I get to my wine cellar, I'll take a shot of the label and shoot it over to you. But there you go.
I'm a big whiskey guy. Like I enjoy sipping whiskey. Now I don't drink that when I'm home. I drink whiskey when I'm here. You know, home I drink Guinness. I mean, I spend my whole I spend 9.5 months in this country. I don't want to talk about 9.5 months. I spend 11.5 months in this country. And I want to go over there and drink as many frothy pints as I can when I'm there, because it's like mother's milk.
And it is, and cut to the bottom line of this. Is it fact that Irish Guinness is thicker than the version Americans get?
I won't say the word thicker.
What would you?
I don't think I've ever heard the word thicker used for it before.
It's like motor oil.
100% different. I don't know what they put into it over here, but you ain't lived till you went to. If you like Guinness in this country and you've never been to Ireland, book a ticket, because you probably never come back.
Especially,
I mean, it's so different.
Yeah, especially if you get to the Guinness factory in Dublin.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little scary when you venture in there.
The Guinness factory is the best, man. You go all the way up to the top now, and there's a bar up there now, full-time bar open, so you can go up there and spend the day up there if you feel like it.
Some people may feel like it. That is true. All right, so.
Oh, when I'm there, I feel like it.
But back to the question I had to you is, what is your favorite Irish whiskey, or whiskey in general?
Favorite Irish whiskey. I mean, I hate to say it, but have you ever tried Conor McGregor's whiskey, the way he sold it now? But have you ever tried Proper 12?
I have not. Let me write it down. Proper 12, okay.
Very, very, if you like Proper 12. Like, there's two whiskeys in Ireland that you never hear of in this country. One is called Jameson, and the other one is, I'm not Jameson. One is called Paddy, and the other is called Power. Powers, with an S.
Powers.
Paddy and Powers. So back in the day, they would have been, if you didn't want to drink the Jameson, you'd have Paddy or Powers. And like when I started working in a bar, when I was tall enough to reach the counter, that's what we would serve, Paddy and Power.
Well, that's one, or that's two?
No, two different.
One's
Paddy's one.
Yeah, and Powers is the
other one. Okay. Is Powers.
Okay.
Yeah. And the best whiskey of all time is Middleton Irish whiskey. There ain't no better. So your answer to that question is, there's nothing better than Middleton. That's the best bottle of whiskey there is.
Okay. All right. I hope everybody.
There's nothing better. That's like a, depending on what part of the world you're in, that's like $150 bottle of whiskey.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's. I hope everybody's taking notes. And this is part of why we have him on. Not the reason we had him on, but he's about the good life. Drinking's involved. No matter what you drink, if you drink milk or whatever. But then to the bottom of the hour with Mark J. Murphy. We'll be back with our man.
Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
And we're going to start the second half of the show with Mark J. Murphy. 15 years since he won Big Break Ireland. And I don't know where that time has gone, but that is incredible. I mean, it's still astounding when I say 15 years, because you still look the same, and I can't believe it's been 15 years.
I don't know about looking the same. I think my belt buckle is... I don't know. I mean, I definitely feel fatter and older. There's no doubt about that. But, it is what it is. When you're a young man, you can just roll and do anything. You can get up, no sleep, keep moving. You get older, man. Stuff changes pretty quick, you know how it is. Getting up to pee in the middle of the night.
Thanks.
As soon as you hit 30, any of the listeners, as soon as you hit 30, get ready.
I hear the bladder is on the right side, so sleep on your left. I don't know. I'll defer to...
Is that how it works?
That's what I read recently, so...
Wow. I mean, who doesn't want to listen into this show to get all these?
I know. You'd have to speak to your wife was pregnant at one time. You'd have to talk with her and see, specifically what
good
made...
Good point, actually, yeah.
What made her most comfortable. But yeah, I'm a side sleeper. That's what I got. So I don't know. That's, I just feel more comfortable on my right side.
That.
I'm
going straight out to ChatGPT in a second,
Sure, let's bring it.
But that's
there you
what
go.
We were talking about at the end of... That's what we were talking about at the end of the last break. That's what made me think of that again. Like, the world is evolving on a daily basis. So is every golfer.
Right.
That's why these kids don't care anymore. Back before social media and all this stuff, you talk about ChatGPT is the greatest thing that was ever invented, but it's also the most negative thing that was ever invented. I mean, what it's going to do is the next culture of kids are going to be pretty stupid. It's pretty dumb. Like, I find myself now talking to ChatGPT for everything.
Mm.
It's the most unbelievable, and it's just like golf. It's the exact same thing. The world is evolving. There's an evolution of just everything. Every single day there's something new comes out. Think about it. Can you imagine in 20 or 30 years what this country or the world is going to be like?
It's hard to.
With what they're inventing. I saw something in Japan where you in the middle of the main street, there, in a busy street, you sit in a chair, you press a button, you tell this computer what kind of haircut you want, and it cuts your hair.
A
robot cuts your hair.
Yeah, see, that's going to be... Even the barbers are losing their jobs.
What I'm saying, tell me. By the way the world is moving forward and the way that everything is moving forward, what are our children going to do in 15 or 20 years for work?
If I knew that question, I'd be a billionaire, because that's exactly...
You have to look at it, do you not? Like, you have to think about the way that the world is changing every day.
No, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. But... I don't have that. I don't have that answer. I
was like, 400 yards.
Well, if you just think back just 2-3 years ago, and IT and all the security coding stuff and the computer stuff was hot. That was the market to get into. That was the things to study in school and everything else. And that's all going to be AI based.
It's unbelievable. But my wife said to me, oh, she's friends going to Ireland. Think about going to Ireland. Can you make them a little quick? Can you make them um, like a, the itinerary. Back in the day, you'd go onto the computer, you'd go on Word, I'd spend at least an hour or two doing it. Now you literally pick your phone up, say, hey, I'm looking to make an itinerary to go to Ireland, and bang, it's done. Pass it over. It's crazy, like.
It makes sense. We would cover AI as well. I want Iron Byron to play my golf shots. That's what I want. That's the kind of robotic things I want to put in action. Talking with Mark J. Murphy, you can tell he's evolved from Big Break and Big Break Ireland, and now he actually goes back to Ireland. So they let him in.
More like dissolved.
So you mentioned in the last segment about your trip. For most of July, I'm sure the Lady House loves that, but we won't go down that rabbit hole. Your trip to Ireland with the 19 members. Are you officially a member of that very elite club?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. President Trump made me. I play golf with President Trump, and he gave me a membership about 5-6 years ago. He helped me get in there, and I love every minute of it. Love playing golf there. The golf course is unbelievable. I would love to see it tested, actually, by some sort of an event. You know, I think it's actually the best of the three golf courses in Florida that he owns.
Well, I think Eric's probably working on that. I mean, obviously, the president has to stay out of it from that standpoint. Although I did, there was a presidential spotting at Trump National outside of D.C. when Liv came through. So that was interesting. I was kind of stuck with Secret Service for a while, so it's like, oh yeah, your timing was just a little off. But anyway, but he loves his golf and stuff, and people don't realize how big a man that Donald Trump is, and he's actually quite an athlete, because people always question the golf that he plays. That people that don't know, but if you watch videos, unedited videos, the guy's sinking putts from like 25 feet away and doing things like that.
I've played probably 25 rounds of golf with him, and he can play. There's no way of saying anything other than that. He can play. I think the weakest part of his game is actually his putting. He drives it straight as an arrow, and he's pretty good with his wedges. And when I first played with him maybe 10 years ago, he wasn't great at chipping, but now he's a decent chipper, but now I really think that his weakest part of his game is his putting. But I mean, any time I've ever played with him, he shoots, you know, he breaks 80 every single time. Like, I've seen him shoot 72.
So how many tips have you given him over the years, though? And are you still
teaching? No, I stay in my own lane, buddy. I stay in my own lane, believe it or not. There's no tips for a man like that. You let him do his own thing, and he's been doing it like that forever, and you just got to, you know, like anything, just go with the flow.
All right. Well, he likes you for your stick, that's for sure, on that. Are you still doing some teaching?
A little bit. I still have my studio. I'm sitting in it right now talking to you. I still have my studio at my house, and I still fit a lot of Strixon. Strixon are hot clubs, irons right now.
Oh, you actually fit those. I know. I do as much as next to despise Smedia. I do every once in a while see you put some Strixon stuff up. So I wasn't sure where that was, whether they were just sponsoring you or you actually got a Strixon thing going on.
No, I've been to Strixon for a long time, but I sell their irons. I think they're the best iron on the market, to be honest. And they also own Cleveland, so that matches up with the wedges. So, you know, I sell a lot of their wedges and a lot of their irons.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You have to believe in the product that you represent. Otherwise, what's the point in doing it?
That's a good point. And it's interesting because many years ago, I've been doing the show for a long time, as Murph knows, but and way in excess of 15, almost lapped the 15. But Rich Stamper, the head guy, was on the show a lot of years ago, and I ran into him in Orlando at this year's PGA merchandise show, because he's involved with this Genius golf ball. And it was just that kind of serendipity type of moment, because Stamper was just happened to be sitting nearby, because I mentioned Rich. They thought I was talking about Rich Katz. I was talking about Rich. I was talking about Rich Katz. They thought I was talking about Rich Stamper. And they're like, oh, he's right over there. Who's over there? Rich Stamper. Like, so anyway, full circle. But, you know, did a great job because Strixon was struggling for a long time and certainly have a decent amount of golf club share in the marketplace now.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, but I just feel like, you know, isn't it unbelievable how, like, it's the market is still dominated by four or five with all the technology that's in the world and everything?
Yeah, to me it is.
That's one thing for me that it does really amaze me, and the whole, that the golf market is, like, you've got five or six of the same companies that have stayed up there and lasted as long as we've been alive, really.
Yeah, it's difficult for the new guys to break in now. It used to be a little easier. Now, obviously, I go back with Barney Adams and Jesse Ortiz and guys like that that started to try metal, and obviously Adams Golf, which is, you know, basically gone as well. But then you could break in, and with the guys on tour, you could get the putter in the bag. And now these 14 club deals are done with the players, so everybody gets locked out. You can't. You know, you have to take somebody who's adventurous, like a Bryson DeChambeau or somebody that's willing to try your clubs to have any kind of shot in the industry anymore.
That's the, like, give me a company, well, outside of lab putters, give me a company that is in, let's just say, with, you know, driver, 3-wood, 5-wood irons. Like, no company has come up within our lifetime that has just lapped everybody. Lab putters has done that, which is very weird to think about it. Lab Golf is probably the only company that has popped up like this in years that is a new company that's absolutely killing it.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate, actually. John Perkowitz, we got to know over the years, last few years and such, and he was working with Lab and was one of their designers and such. But even him going out on his own after his contract ended, it's been an uphill climb for sure. I mean, a steep one.
Well, can you imagine the feeling of that? Can you imagine going into the lab there, actually at Lab, designing a putter, and then find out that they sold 20 million of them, and it was your design, and you made nothing more on your wage that you get every week.
Yeah. Well, the one,
you know, and that's the reality of it.
Yeah, it is, and that is when you're working for a company, they, you know, they kind of own that design, and that's the same way with a lot of companies. The one design that I want to tell you this story, because I'm not sure you've heard it or whatever. Obviously, Dave Pelz is no longer with us. Well, he's overlording us. But his son, Eddie, is working with Patrick Reed, has been for a number of years. And Eddie and I stay in touch. And Eddie came on the show, and we were talking about his dad, because his dad had passed not long ago. And the one thing that Dave Pelz developed was the two-ball design. And he had an opportunity to either take a percentage of each club that sold or take a lump sum for whatever that amount was for his patent. And he took the lump sum instead. And, of course, that putter went on to sell multi millions. So
that's a nuts story. And you ever hear that story about Hulk Hogan and George Foreman? They had the same manager way back when. Mm-hmm. And he's the manager. Somebody came to them with these two ovens or whatever they're called, grills, and said, hey, we'd like for you guys to do this. And the manager called up Hulk Hogan first, and Hulk Hogan didn't answer. So he went to George Foreman, and he said to George Foreman, which grill do you want? George Foreman took the George Foreman grill, it was known as. Hulk Hogan's thing was gone a year later, and George Foreman made billions of dollars out of it.
Yeah, that was George's biggest payday. With that grill. I mean, it was just what a great success story, and what a great business story, and the whole thing. Because who would have thought? I mean, it's amazing. I know you guys in Ireland, you grill on those with the grates on top of the big oil barrels and stuff, and you know that type of thing. But
yeah,
but you know,
that's us. You know us too well.
I am due a trip back to Ireland. Trouble with going to Ireland is Dublin is so expensive. But obviously,
well, why would you go to Dublin?
Well, where else am I going? I got Dublin and Belfast. What do you mean? What else do I have? You're going to tell me Cork? I know that. I've been there. What else? What do you have? What do you have?
What's that got to do with it? You can go to the same place twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could just fly in. Why don't you just fly into Shannon?
Okay. Fly into Shannon and then do what?
And then you go in there to golf or just go have a good time?
Well, usually it's a good time. I feel like a bad human being for never been to
fly into
Ireland.
Shannon. It's the hotels are a lot cheaper near Dublin, and stay around there and go to Galway for a night, which is great to see. And if you want to play golf at Lahinch or come to Adair Manor or come down into Killarney. I mean, Killarney is probably the busiest, most happening town in the summer in Ireland. That place is rocking.
I have heard it.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So, how's the tourism segment going for you? You still hang a shingle a little bit?
Oh, I mean, the tourism business in Ireland is booming, man. You can't get you try and get a tea time in the summer. Call them up now and see can you get a tea time this summer and see what happens. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Hotels booked out all year long.
So other than the guys from the club, the members from the club, are you doing anything else travel wise?
No. Okay. No, not really, no.
Okay.
But that could change, Jonesy, you know?
Oh, I know. Well, you have that feather in your cap, so I'm just, you know, was just curious. We're just catching up with the world that is Mark J. Murphy on Tee It Up with Keith Jones. Because obviously he's celebrating an anniversary, and we said we haven't had him on for long enough, and hey, let's bring him back. So we're doing that, and trying to get into that mind. So, with the trip to Doonbeg, what kind of time did you have to put in to put that together? Or did you just talk to your GPT assistant and get the whole thing laid out?
No, we use a company for that. So a company, my friend owns a company, and he sets it all up for us.
Oh, nice, nice. Is that which friend is that?
Dennis O'Carroll.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. Dennis has been on the show before. Yeah. Okay. He's still doing his thing. That's good.
Yeah. He sure is. So, you know, Ireland is booming, man, and it's only going to get better. The golf course is over there, and then Ryder Cup next year. That's gonna be a tough Ryder Cup to get to, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so you're going to be making plans to do it anyway, or what are your thoughts on...
I was going to... They actually came out with tickets there not so long ago. I was going to buy just a couple, just four of them to see if we'd go. And I said to my wife, I'd like to go, especially when it's on at Adair and I know JP so well, you know.
Right.
And I don't know. I still haven't decided. I would really like to do it. It would be really cool just to, you know, chalk it off the list that you went to one Ryder Cup and it was on. And, you know, I don't think I'd go there on a Saturday or Sunday. I think I'd just go there on the first round, maybe, if I could, on the Friday.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea. Well, maybe we'll put our heads together later on after the show. But Mark J. Murphy, head to our final break, back to wrap the show, World of Murph. We've come to the final segment of the show, and I'm sure people are saying, wow, you've covered so many topics. This is insane. How did you do that? Well, because I've known Murph for probably 15 years, and we have a lot of pent-up things that we want to talk about when we want to talk about them. So that's kind of how that works. As you can tell, he's a worldly man. Sipping the whiskey, playing the golf, hanging out with the Prez, doing all those things that, you know, none of us mere mortals end up doing. So
all the years of hard work, buddy.
I know. You listen, that is one thing about you. When they talk about guys that grind, you are a true grinder, my friend, because not just the game the game of life. You were just at it, and to go from.
You just got to keep going, man. You got to keep grinding. If you don't grind, you don't get there. So you got some people have no choice to do that, only to do that, and I enjoy it. I enjoy going. You know, somebody asked me the other day how many jobs do I have. I said, how many hands do you have? How many fingers do you have on your hands? That's what I said to them. Sorry, they were dying laughing. You got to do what you got to do. You know.
Right.
That's what life's all about. I enjoy it.
He did ask how many hands you have, but that's only because he had just finished his second whiskey, and so he figured that out, and then he said, oh, the fingers. Yeah, that's where I wanted to go with that. So that's what happened to me.
Speaking of whiskey, it might be time for one, huh?
I clear that up. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we probably should have broken that out. You know, this is one of the things that the influencers do these days, you know. Let me put that product right here, and wait, is it big bottle big enough? Can you see the 1.75 sitting here next to me?
So. There are so many people listening into the show, and we're giving out free advertisement for people the whole show, Jones. We're not getting paid. We're influencers.
Exactly. Yeah, we name drop. We just don't name drop that way. So, you know, we will recognize people who, you know, obviously have their worth and skip the other ones that are maybe questionable. You know, it's interesting being a national radio host. We're one of the original influencers. Now, that doesn't really, you know, personally, my ego's not such.
All the money, though, Jonesy.
Yeah, what's that?
I was one of the natural influencers, you and me, but we didn't make anything.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're not about the money. That's why. That's what, you know, everybody wants to play free golf. I got that part. You know, I understand these things, you know, but I don't need to compromise, you know, my ethics or the morals or whatever it is to dumb down or to do whatever it is. People say your show is an hour long and you talk with somebody for 45 minutes, and I'm like, sure, why not? Because we peel back the layers, you know. If we get a prominent guest on, I mean, people don't, you know, they've already seen that person or heard that person, but what do you really know about that person? That's what we do in this. That's what we've always done in the show. And you know, I like to hope that I throw people enough with my guests and my great line of questioning that they want to hear what's next and what's coming up next, because there's no script to this. You know, there are a couple of bullet points. People ask me, if I come on the show, what are we going to talk about? I said, we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about what you're doing. We're going to talk about this. Well, can you send me a list of questions? I don't have a list of questions. It's kind of it's the way the wind blows,
well,
right,
you Murph? Sent me a list of questions before I came on, didn't you?
Yeah, I tried to. Well, because, you know, the whiskey bleeds in. You know, we got to protect that, you know? At least you got to be able to see it right there. Now, I don't know how much you could actually read that, but, you know, hey, that's, you know, whatever it took on that, so. I got to watch out for certain people to make sure I got them taken care of, you know.
For sure. For sure.
All right.
Some are easier than others, right?
Yeah, that is true. So what will you do in preparation? You got a few weeks maybe before Ireland comes. So what do you have to do? You got to play. You got to play host.
Get everything started out. I'm going for a week with the boys, and then my wife and my little girl will fly over, and I'll drop the boys at the airport, and then I'll pick up my wife and my daughter.
Oh, there you go. Smart. See, this Murphy guy, I told you he was smart. That's the way to play it.
I'm going to write a book soon if you want to buy it.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about writing one myself, only because I've had great knuckleheads, great people like yourself on the show over the years and stuff. But I'll buy your book if you buy my book. So. Murph and I will make no money, but that's not what it's about. So, but buddy boy, it's always good to have you on the show. Really appreciate your time as always. It's fun to catch up and fun to kind of banter about a lot of different things, including AI. I didn't realize that Murph was going to be GPT and me on the show, but there you go. That's what you got. You got to be careful what you ask for.
You know that's true.
That's it, buddy. All right, well. I'm sure we'll talk before you take off for Ireland, but safe travels and such. But we're just out of time. And get out in there and practice your game. Murph would want you to. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.